Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Romans chapter 15. And if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting at verse 22. For this reason, I also have much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you. At first, I may enjoy your company for a while, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers for God to me, or to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who have not believed, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Father, we just lift up this time to you and we pray, Lord, that your Son would be glorified here. Lord, we acknowledge that your presence is here. May everything that is said and done here be for your glory and for your purpose this morning. Let our hearts be open to receive what you would have to speak to each of us. And let us be open to that. Bless our time together. Bless your word. Bless your truth. Bless you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. For this reason, I also have much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Paul's desire was to visit the church in Rome on his way to Spain, which would be the furthest reaches of the Roman Empire. So what has hindered him? Well, remember in verse 15 and 16 how he said to them that he could not leave the ministry given by God to be a servant, or he was a minister by God to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. It tells us in verse 19 that he has now finished the work called him to do east of Rome, and he was ready to now go west of Rome to preach the gospel where they have not heard. See, now he felt free, that he could leave now, that he fulfilled his obligation to the church on the east. Now, what he did is, remember, he would go into these sections, he would preach the gospel, he would set up a church there, set up elders, and really people that he sensed the Spirit was upon them, that they were actually grasping the fullness of the gospel and what it meant to be leaders. And so then he would leave, and then they would go and minister, and the church would grow, and it would be blossomed because of that. But again, the point is that he's now felt like he's fulfilled the ministry of where he was, and he has the freedom now to go. Now, there are certain things we're going to look at here through what the ministry means to people, sending off missionaries, the ministry here, the ministry God's called you to. The number one lesson here to learn is just a very simple one. Too many people quit before finishing what or where God has called them, because they go by feeling. Too many people jump ship. Now, it's true, it's wearisome. Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes the ground is so hard. Sometimes hearts are so hard. Sometimes you feel like you're really running against the wind, going against the current, and you get weary, you get tired, and you just want to let go and go with the flow. It's easy. It's easy just to let go and just be blown to wherever. But the Bible reminds us, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Hebrews, the writer puts it this way, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Keep going. Stop. Keep going. Don't give up. Whatever your ministry is right now. And don't look at me blankly like you're saying, I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do. Every one of us. You and I are all lights for Jesus Christ. We are all priests. We're all ministers. We're all servants to God. Wherever God has called you at this moment, maybe it's a circle of friends that you have not shared your faith with. Maybe it's your children that you're still living in your house. They have not left yet. Don't pack their bags, especially when they're only 10. They have to stay, minister to them, teach them of the way of the Lord. Don't grow weary. Keep going. Don't give in. Don't give up. And remember this. Aren't you glad God doesn't give up? He doesn't give up on you. He doesn't give up on me. And yet we are so quick to give up. So, first lesson is that don't quit until God has said it's done. And as parents, trust me, it ain't over until you are pushing up daisies. Or be with the Lord, actually. Now, understand, notice Paul has had this great desire to come to Rome for many years. God put that desire in Paul's heart, but Paul had to wait. Look at verse 24 now. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. The church at Rome at this time was probably the furthest west of any church, so it would make sense that Paul would want to launch out from there. He wanted to enjoy their company, build a relationship, to have their moral, spiritual, and physical support. He would be going where the gospel had not been heard. So, of course, he wanted support. The second thing for us to learn and to know, in whatever service of the Lord God has called us, we need mutual support. Parents, you need other parents. Young people, you need other young people. But don't leave out older people. They have experience and understanding in some of these things. Not all. It's we need each other. We'll always need each other. It's the way God made us. You never arrive until you're pushing up daisies. I got to stop using that one. Until you're home. Till it's done. Till he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Servant, come in. Come in your home. Now it's time to rest. It's been said and it's so true. This is really where the service is. This is the ministry. Oh, there's, trust me, you're serving God in heaven too, but not like this, because see, we are living, as it's been said, the closest we'll ever get to hell is here. This is the place where heaven and hell is chosen. This is the place where God's light must shine through us. In heaven, all of us will have His light shining. But now, this is where we needed to be used more than anywhere, is now. This is the time. So remember, whatever service the Lord has called, God has called, we need each other. Third thing I want you to take note of is when someone goes into the mission field, they need our support, our encouragement, our financial, spiritual support. And we've had opportunity. I hope you're praying for Ian. Prayed for Braden and Alyssa. They're coming back. They feel like they fulfilled what their purpose was there. Ian right now is on the mission field. I hope you're praying for him. And if you can support him in other ways, then praise the Lord. Do so. But there's also, if you didn't know this, Caleb and Jed's dad, Steve's been out on the mission field for years. Are we praying for him in Bangladesh? Is there other missionaries that you have on your fridge that you pray for from past history of knowing somebody? Pray for them. Don't forget them. They need our support. But before Paul makes his way to them, he has one last thing to do before he can feel free to go. Let's look at verse 25. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. Whether by famine, persecution, or being ostracized, the saints in Jerusalem were in need financially. So it pleased the churches in Macedonia and Achaia, which is modern-day Greece, Albania, and North Macedonia, if you care to look that up. Gentile churches, they made the contribution. They did. Why? Look at verse 27. It pleased them indeed that they are debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things, because they felt they owed so much for the spiritual ministry that they received. They felt it was their duty. Their duty. Number four, it's important to support financially where you are ministered to spiritually. Now, this is something we don't talk a lot about. Why? Because what we do here is we go through the Bible and teach it. So it's not like we have these times that we put pressure on you to give to the church. If you don't give to the church, God's work is going to cease here. And if it ceases, it stops, and it's all because you stop giving. No, our God's greater than that. Let's not get there. But at the same time, when we come across it in Scripture, we face it. And it's time to face it, because we have not talked about giving in a long time. Do you give regularly to the needs of this church? How much? You're sitting there going, well, come on, Pastor, you know what we're given. Don't you have the ledger? No, I don't. It's between you and God. What are you giving? 10%? That's a starting point. It's not necessarily that you have to give 10%. Now, concerning this particular gift, I want you to do something with me. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll give you a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, now look at verse 5. Paul writing to, if you will, really the churches of Macedonia, it's Corinthians, but this is the area right there. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised. Stop. How many times do you promise God that next week you'll start giving? next month, next year, when you have extra money to give. Maybe it's time to fulfill that promise, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not grudgingly, as a grudging obligation. Darn it, I had to come to church and he's talking about money. Is it a grudging obligation? How has God ministered to you? How does God bless you? Do you know that He blesses us with our financial needs? Do you know that everything He has, He gave, everything you have, He's given you? Can you accept that truth? But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Stop. What he's not saying here is, if you give to me, I'll give more back to you. I know you're saying, but that's what it says. I know, but in the spirit of it, what he's telling you this is that, look, you sow to my work, it's going to reap benefits for my work. And when I bless you and I bless others, it spills on everybody. People see how I work. There's an old saying that says you can't outgive God. And it's true, you can't. But see, God will always give you what you need. Always. But it really comes down to the understanding of what you have promised to Him who has given you everything, that you understand that it's not grudgingly, but it's with expectation. Now, can you imagine that? You're giving with expectation that what you're giving, God is going to use for His purpose, for His glory, and you will get to witness what that is. And when you witness what God is doing, you are blessed. But not only that, when you notice your bill stacking up, you're going to notice something too. God's going to meet your needs. How does that all work out? Hey, you know how big your God is? He's pretty big. He owns everything. The chairs you're sitting on, He owns it. This building, He owns it. No, you're saying Lincoln Christian? No, He owns it. See, the material that was made to make this building, to make those chairs, it's all God's. Made out of atoms. Colossians, it says one day God, Jesus Christ, is just going to go like this with the atoms. Because see, they can't really figure it out. Oh, they're trying to figure it out. What keeps those atoms together? Well, Scripture tells us Jesus holds everything together. And one day, He'll go, and everything dissolves. Except. You're not made out of atoms. Oh, you might say, what? My body is. Your spirit isn't. It's eternal. Everything else, gone. But then He makes whole new world. I'm not going to sing the Disney song. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So when you give, are you looking at Him who is the giver? Are you still stuck on what you have and have not? And can you realize that you have not because you ask not and you give not? Let's move on. So let each one give as his purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. It's not a pressure thing here. God is not telling you, and I am not telling you, He needs your money. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need it. But what He wants is what we were just singing. All of our heart. One time I used this illustration. It was funny, but this was years back. I said, is your wallet chained to your heart? And back then, we were ministering to a lot of goth kids. And they all pulled out their wallets almost the same time. They were all connected with a chain. But it is something. What's holding you back from giving to God what He's given to you? Does it have chain connected from your wallet to your heart? See, that's what God's interested in here. Not your money. Where are you looking to your resources and your provision? Is it God or it's your own hands? And God would tell you, who made your hands? Who gave you your gifts? Who gave you your job? Who gave you everything? And I want a measly 10 cents from you. Just to make sure that your heart is still in my hand. And that you trust me with everything, even your money. Think about that. How many people do you trust with your money? I think of Daffy Duck. It's mine, all mine, all mine. I probably just aged myself. Because God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Two things I want you to check out on that. One, the cheerfully. You know what that means? It means joyfully. It means, whoa, what's going to happen? God, you're doing something. You're going to make this abound. It's going to move. It's going to move things in your kingdom for your glory. It's for His good work. You know that's what you're giving for? His good work. His good purpose. So I ask you, are you giving to God what He's already given to you? Also, I said 10%. That's a good base. But you want to know something? What have you purposed in your heart? What is it that you are joyfully desiring to give to God? I remember hearing this, and it just illustrates it perfectly. Billy Graham was in church service with his wife, Ruth. And let's face it, he's been in a lot of church services. The plate was being passed. For you younger people, we don't do that here. It's an offering. Usually what they would do is pass the plate and people would give. That's the way they used to give. And when it came to Billy Graham, he pulled out his wallet, put a bill in there. Realizing, of course, remember this is years ago, it was $20 and he meant to put the $10 in, he started to reach for it. His wife, Ruth, very wisely asked, what are you doing? He said, I didn't mean to put the 20 in, I meant to put the 10 in. And his wife said to him, well, in God's eyes, you only gave him 10. Even though it was 20 going down. What is it that you're willingly to give to God that He's purposed in your heart? Give. Remember the widow? Remember the two mites? Two pennies? And yet she was giving out of what she didn't have. And Jesus said, she's given more than everybody else here. It's not the quantity. It's the quality. But God has purposed in your heart. And you know what? We could parlay that to our lives. You think you have nothing to give to God? Oh my goodness, what can He do with just a little bit? Just a little bit. Whatever it is you have, you give it to Him, then it's an endless possibility. What God can do through you if you just give Him you. Some of you, especially younger people, you have all these plans, thinking that you have all this down. And that, let me share with you, just give Him your life, your dreams, your purpose. Then He'll give back more than you could ever imagine. And if He throws in the dream job that you desire, then you know what you do? You'll understand you're just giving it right back to Him. Let's go back to Romans. You're sweating, going, man, I'm glad that part's over. Look at verse 28. Therefore, my time is running out, isn't it? Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Before Paul moved on, he had to finish his obligation to the bodies he helped start. Paul knew that when his ministry of obligations to God and to those he served was complete, he could come to them with Christ's blessing to share with them. In the beginning of this epistle, he said this in chapter 1, verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, speaking to this church in Rome, that I have often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I'm a debtor to both Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome. So that we can both be partakers and blessed to eat with each other of the power of the gospel message. Because he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to also the Greek. If we can grab onto this truth, if we can really, if you will, sow this seed, and that is what? It's the gospel. To see actually the power of God move is not your measly 2 cents. It's to share and to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it has the power to move a heart into salvation. It has power to move a mountain. Now I have a decision to make here. It's not really the best place to stop. But I fear if I keep going, I will keep you here longer than certain people can withstand because they've already shared with me that they're pretty tired. And leave it to me to put any of you all to sleep. Though I have put many of people to sleep, I shall not suffer you. No, I'm going to be suffering. Probably enjoy the slumber. And the quietness and the presence of our Lord. But I will figure out what to do next week with the remaining of it. But with that, let's go back. Are you done with what God has called you to do and where He's called you? It's important for us to pray when we think we've come to that place, but never, ever quit. Until it is true and you understand completely that it's time to move on. In whatever service of the Lord God has called us, we need support from each other. Don't ever underestimate the value of friendship, but also the fellowship of the church. Remember those who go out into the mission field. And really, I'm not getting into this now, but I was going to. And it's such a mighty battle that goes on in any mission field. And that, my friends, is the battle you also feel of just being a servant of God, of going out and just sharing the power of the gospel message, sharing what you have, the little mites that you have with God, because there's a great opposition against us. It's important to support financially those that are in the ministry, that we or you are being ministered to. And always remember this, the church, and I'm not saying this really just because this is the church, but this is the main place you're ministered to. This is the place where your funds should first go to. The other para-ministries, yeah, if that's something the Lord has led you to do, then do it. But remember, do it with all joy. If you give it with joy, not grudgingly. If you will, maybe timidly, with the understanding of what you give to God, God will use for His purpose and His glory. May I share one last thing and we'll call it a day. If you are giving to an extra ministry other than this, then I advise you to make sure that they are taking what you give them to use it for God's glory and for the purpose that it's to be given. And you can go online and you can check how faithful they are. If you want a list of some of them, I have a few that I give to that I have no qualms to give to them because I know they're using it for God's glory. And I will say one just for the purpose of it. Samaritan's Purse is one that I have found that what they say they do, they do. They're usually the first responders to any type of tragedy that happens, not only in the United States, but abroad. So the purposes and the power of God is at your disposal, each one of us. But it's a matter of how much we give of His heart, of our heart, excuse me. How much of your heart have you given? How much do you come to Him with expectation of Him to move whatever it is that needs to be moved out of the way? That His name would be glorified and praised, that the power of His gospel message would go forth. For each of us to think and pray these things through. We do worship a mighty, wonderful, marvelous, powerful God. So many of us withhold our hand from Him because we're timid and afraid that He will not fulfill His purpose or His promises. Are you daring? Be daring. You really want to see a dareful life? Go out there and live all your heart for Jesus Christ. May that be true with everyone here this morning, including myself. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. Pray, Lord, that You would minister to each of us where we're at right now, whatever that may be. Lord, if there's a place that we're at right now and we feel like we're stuck, Lord, and we're not fulfilled what we're supposed to do, I pray, Lord, that You would either fulfill that ministry or encourage them to stay, to endure, to grow. And Father, may we continue to have mutual support here as brothers and sisters in Christ, looking to You, Father, for You are the one that provides all things. And for that, Lord, we give all that we have. And Lord, as it's been said, we acknowledge that You can always test a person's faith by checking their wallets. Lord, let that not be so with us. Let us give You all things for Your purpose, for Your glory, and for the power of Your message to go forth. Bless, Father, I pray, these words. I pray that You would use them for Your purpose this morning. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name.